in real life or the philosophy of the internet. You know, I have a fresh teenager as a son, and so sometimes I manage to be allowed into the secret deviations of the new language that they are forming, and it must be said that it's quite an intriguing world. For example, do you know what IRL means? Well, I didn't, and when I asked my son what does this abbreviation mean, he looked at me in shock and he said, you don't know what IRL means? I said, no. And he said, it means in real life, Dad. Meaning, some of their meetings, some of their encounters does not happen on Fortnite or Minecraft, but it happens in real life, which is our thing that we used to call reality. Anyway, I have been intrigued by this because for many years, maybe more than 10, I have been talking about Windows. You know, Windows is a symbol of our generation. It's what we grew up on. It's a product of Microsoft Windows. And I like to read certain things symbolically. And in this case, Windows, I think, is a exactly perfect name to describe our relationship of my generation with the digital world of the internet. So what does a window do? Well, a window allows you to see into a different dimension without you actually being in that different dimension. So for example, I'm now sitting in cafeteria and it's light and warm and dry and pleasant, cultured weather that we like to keep inside. But when I look outside of the window, I see that it's dark, getting dark there, and that it's slightly windy and cold and slight wind. So I know information about the outside, about a different zone, about a different, let's say, dimension, without me having to enter it. And the reason why I like the name Windows for the key Microsoft product that my generation is very familiar with is that it actually does give us a window from the real world or real life into a digital zone. So I can see what's happening in China, I can be riding the tigers of Indonesia, I can even go into fictional worlds of Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. I can talk with my friend who's in Italy. Thanks to these windows into a different collapsed time space that we call digital internet. So what's happening now is that we are entering the age of windows to the age of what I call doors. I will speak about this soon occasion, but just very briefly, I think the next stage of our development in this abstract world, we've always, as human beings, lived in abstract fantasy worlds that we've constructed, be it the world of mythology or religion, or even the scientific theories or theater or books. Usually, even the whole structure of language actually describes a world that isn't really. The word cat doesn't really have anything to do with a mammal that you know has these fuzzy properties. But the word cat suffices, even though there is no physical cat in the room, I can still visualize a cat. Now, the world of internet is pretty much the same, only slightly more complicated with different rules. So the age of the doors, I have been predicting for some time, perhaps a decade or more, that we will leave the age of windows and that we will enter the age of doors. And what doors do is that you leave one space and you are in another space. And in other words, when the age of the doors will be upon us, reality will be leavable behind. Not 100%, we will still come here to eat, perhaps reproduce, and have social occasions, such as, I can imagine, Christmas or birthday parties. But the regular day, when in its work routine, is actually quite imaginable that it would happen in a virtual space. Now, you are familiar with Matrix. The idea has been channeled there. There's an interesting reference there when Morpheus talks about the welcome to the desert of the real. And that's, in fact, something that Baudrillard, Jean Baudrillard, used in his 1981 book Simulation and Simulacra, where he predicts that the real world will be exchanged for the world of symbols, that we will evacuate the real physical world and we will be more habitable, more comfortable in an abstract world of symbols and simulations rather than the real thing itself, so that the real life becomes a desert. And you can already see this happening. We can no longer touch each other, we no longer do. It's becoming a very sterile society, but we are compensated for that with our touch screens. Their touching has lost the original meaning. We are now touching our computers rather than each other. And you can see this in many other areas as well. So what's happening now, and the new generation witnesses this, we are newcomers into this new world that Peter Pan also used to fly into. If you remember, he had this Neverland that he could go on the magical wings. We don't really have a Neverland that Peter Pan had, but we have something much more functional that we call the internet. But the word Neverland is actually a nice name because it's a place that actually doesn't exist. Now, when we were young, we used to play on our backyards and in the forests, and that has now been replaced by Fortnite and Minecraft. By the way, I don't know if you know that, but Minecraft has 4 billion square kilometers compared to our Earth that only has 500 million square kilometers. So a small child at the age of 6 or 10 is able to carry a bigger world than the real world in its pocket. It doesn't weigh anything. Another interesting thing about internet is that it brings magic into our lives, but we don't realize. We, for example, learn how to do telepathy. We thought that we're going to be able to do telepathy, be able to transact thoughts and ideas at distance. We thought we're going to do that via doing some, you know, spiritual exercises combined with a very, very strange diet. But in the meantime, we've learned to telepathy the whole globe. A small child can telepathy somebody in China only if he or she is in the possession of a connected phone, which today would be pretty much everybody. Never mind. Another magic that happens with this world is something that Alice in Wonderland had. If you remember, she had this magic bag and she could put infinite amount of goods and stuff into the bag, and the bag didn't get heavier nor did it get larger. And this is what we have in our cell phones. It doesn't matter if you have one book or 1,000 books, or one movie or 1,000 movies, one song or 1,000 songs. If you carry a whole world which is larger than the real world, it doesn't add to the weight in any sense. So that's how the new generation of our children has moved. They are evacuating this world. They are already native in this place. And next time, let's stop and describe some basic characteristics of this new habitable land where our spirits can dwell. I'm going to talk about in the next episode, I'm going to talk about that the internet is a weird combination of communism, because you don't need any much special entrance capital. Your child has the same internet like, the richest people of this world or the tech nerds. I'm going to be talking about the anarchy on the internet, the subconscious of the internet, some sort of something that Freud would call id, meaning the dark web, or a new enclaves that we see born on the internet. For example, my favorite new enclave is B2B, but not business to business, but baby to baby. We have now babies creating contents directly for other babies. Always in the history, there was adults involved. Adults were creating content for the children. And there's no wonder that some of those fairy tales look as crazy as they do. They haven't been created by children. They have been created by weird adults. I mean, if you just think of Tom and Jerry, it's more full of violence than some of the Rambo movies. But anyway, that's for next time. So anyway, back to IRL in real life. You know, in all mythologies, they happen in something that Mircea Eliade, one of the key experts on religion and mythologies, calls illo tempore, in that time, sort of a golden time, time before time begun. That's the time where giants lived and when Adam and Eve had their little garden party and when the flood happened. It wasn't real history, so to speak. It's a mythical prequel, so to speak, to our life. And every mythology has this illo tempore. So anyway, I'd just like to conclude that maybe we are witnessing another illo tempore. Maybe our real life will one day become a memory of a mythical past. Maybe a couple of hundred years into the future, people will no longer abide here, and our world as we know it, with its rules and divinities and desires and fears and stories, will become a mythical memory of a time before time. Illo tempore may be happening just now.